sync, Roberto, does it?
No.
Can silence roaring waves. I know a name that can empty out a grave. I know a name. It's the only name that saves, and it's worthy of all praise. I call you. Comes out of the grave every time I call your name. I have a king with dominion over death. He holds the key in his holy nailed scarred hands. He is the heel that has crushed the serpent's head. Our resurrected great I am. I call you Jesus. I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out. I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call your name, chains break, dry bones break. Every time I call your name, I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call your name.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. Every heart that is broken, and great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love. You bring life to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great. Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, to you only, Lord. Are you Lord?
Are you on? Check. There we go. Amen. That is good, man. It's a beautiful morning. It's a great time that we come together to celebrate and to worship on this July 4th weekend. And so welcome home, as we like to say. Whether this is your home or not, we would say this is your church away from home. We want to be your family there, your spiritual family, to help and walk with you and encourage you in the faith. My name is Jason. I have the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor at Holton Beach Church. And again, we're delighted you're here with us, and we love to recognize your presence as we gather here. This is a no-judgment zone. It's a grace place, but we love to recognize you here. And in your worship folder is a connection card that looks like this. There's online. Man, love for you to hit in the chat where you're listening from. Great to have you with us also. But if you mind filling us out, no, we're not going to sell it. We're not going to bombard you, but it's our way to connect with you. And we love hearing how God's brought you here and how you found out about hope. We're going to talk today about a little bit about our nation. We're in a series of Mark, and we're just going through questions Mark is asking. But here's a question I kind of want you to think about. Actually, not just think about, but just the first thing that comes to your mind, share with your neighbor. What is the need of our nation? That's a big question, isn't it? Turn to your neighbor. Your neighbor. Well, as we begin, I'm going to give you a word from Psalm 66. It's just as a way of focusing in for our worship time together. He says, "Shout joyful praise to God, all the earth. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Your enemies cringe before your mighty power. Everything on earth will worship you. They will sing your praises, shouting your name to the glorious song. Come and see what our God has done, what awesome miracles he has performed for people. He made a dry path through the Red Sea. His people went across on foot. There we rejoice in him, for by his great power he rules forever. He watches every moment of the nations. Let no rebel rise in defiance." Let us rise. Let's begin our worship and shout that glorious praise for what our God has done, who's been so faithful. So good.
You know, when Pastor asked us that question at staff, we realized that there are many opinions, as there are people, about what our great nation needs. But there's one need I'm sure we all need, and that is to trust in God. Can I get an amen?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time.
Hallelujah.
Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. What he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. perfect submission. All is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story. Well, this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one. The Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. Sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
In Galatians 2, it says, I've died to my old self. Christ now lives in me. We are called to live every day by faith in Jesus, who loves us and gave his life for us. Just as we need him, so does our nation. Can I get an amen? His life in us is the hope that we all need. Hallelujah.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I want, held dear. I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. As I tempted and tried, you know, the words became flesh for my sin and death, and now you're risen. the cross where your love poured out. You bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me to your heart. To your heart, lead me to your heart, lead me to your heart, lead me to the cross where your blood poured out, bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Oh, lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down.
It's our prayer today.
Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross.
Check. There we go. Lord, we pray. Lead us to that cross today. Lead us in your ways. Show us the truth of your word and your life. And align our hearts with yours, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is going to be an obvious question, but who enjoys the beach? That's five of you? Let's try this again. Wake up. Who enjoys the beach? Yeah. I mean, I really enjoy the beach. I do not always enjoy the process of getting to the beach. Amen? Right? Especially when we had kids that like loading up food, drinks, toys, tents, towels, chairs, and if I'm lucky, fishing gear. I mean, and then you have to cart it all to the beach. And by the time you sit down to rest, because that is the purpose of really going to the beach, is to really just sit and rest. It always then inevitably it hits you. You realize you forgot something. You try to block it out. But it's like the thing you really want at the beach in the first place. And you're like, how could you forget it? Have you been there? Yep. And I know, I can hear the voices of the organized person. If you just had a list, you would have made it sure everything was on the list. Look, this was so important, it didn't need to be on the list. It should have been there. We should not have forgotten it. It didn't work. No way it's going to happen, but you're wrong. I think we all have pressing needs that are on our list, whether it's written down or it's on our mental list, that the things that we feel like we really need, we really want. And today, I really believe what we're going to do in God's Word today is He's going to meet us where our need is, that pressing need that's real in our life. I'm not doubting that. But He's going to lead us to what we really need as individuals and as a nation. And that's why the message today is called, Do We Have Any Bread? And so we're in Mark, and we're looking at the Gospel of Mark, and we're seeing the questions that Jesus is kind of raising up and answering that are really our questions too. And so I just want to read this short account. So just take a moment, just take it in, and then we'll break it down. So Mark 8, 14 to 21. He says, now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they only had one loaf with them in the boat. And he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to him, 12. And a seven for the 4,000. How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said, 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? If you're taking notes in the outline, you can open up and follow along. Number one is simply this. The disciples had a real physical need. No bread, right? Verse 14, now they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. They are in a boat away from the shore, and they forgot to bring bread. They forgot the food. Now, it isn't probably, this is like the feeling that we get. I don't know if you ever had this in your life, when you go to the grocery store to buy something, you walk away from that grocery store and realize you didn't buy it. It's like, oh, we forgot. How could you forget this? And disciples maybe have been busy, a little distracted on the events, but they forgot to bring bread, and now they're on a boat. And I'm sure the guys who they're fishermen are going, man, we have no poles, no nets. What are we going to do? There's no floating restaurants like in Destin. There's no DoorDash. And I think it's Sunday, so there's no Chick-fil-A. So they're really in trouble. No bread. It's pretty important. 13 men, one loaf, stranded in their minds on a boat. And maybe, you know, some others with them. We don't know. And so this need is causing stress. There's fear. We don't have enough. We're going to be hungry. Possibly some fear of disappointing Jesus, but mostly I think the fear of not having. I mean, the anxiety increases that this is what they become preoccupied with. Their mind is consumed with the idea of this bread shortage. The one thing they really need, they don't have on the boat. And as I talk to people, I think this happens to us in life a lot. I mean, you don't even have to follow the news or not, but it's amazing how the news is always has a breaking news. This is a news alert. This is a soundbite, some political crisis that's going to destroy your life. Meanwhile, you have your own breaking news happening in your life of things that are popping up of your needs and different needs. Perhaps it's food, but probably more or less, it's probably where we're going to get food, what kind of food we're going to have, not if we're going to have enough food, but it could be health. It could be health insurance. It could be a financial issue. It could be a job, Social Security, debt, investments, mortgage rates, our house needs repair, relationships. We have these needs that surface that we become so preoccupied and consumed with. And just like the disciples, all we're thinking about is this need, the here and now, the right here, right in this moment. And how are we going to get it? Where are we going to get it? How are we going to fix it? What's going to happen if we don't? And Jesus, being the good shepherd, the good teacher he is, he's aware of his students on his field trip, what's going on here. And notice, though, the rather odd comment that he responds to what's going on. Verse 15, he says, and he cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. That seems a little weird that they have a need, they're filled with stress and anxiety, and your response is, hey, let me give you a warning, let me caution you. I mean, that doesn't sound like a very nurturing, loving Jesus. I mean, wouldn't most parents, if your kids, you're going to the beach, you're going somewhere on a trip, and they get bent out of shape, oh, we forgot this. I mean, isn't our response as a parent to kind of reassure and comfort them and like, hey, I'm with you, I'm the adult, I'll take care of you, we got this, don't worry, we'll be good, it's all right. As a sidebar, I was sharing this with the staff, kind of where I was going with the message at this point. My wife goes, that wasn't you. I said, this is a new improved pop for grandkids. That's what it is, right? But notice what the key word Jesus says twice. Do not become leaven. Do not become leaven. Leaven is a yeast that spreads quickly through the bread and ruins it. And the Bible refers to any kind of false teaching, ideologies, attitudes, or sins. And so like Jesus is like, snip it now before it grows. Stop. So what does Jesus do in number two? Jesus warns them about their faith. You're just preoccupied with your physical need. And this is a dangerous place to be. See, right before this, he says the Pharisees who have been following Jesus, watching Jesus, you know, challenging Jesus, they challenge Jesus. They say, Jesus, we need a sign from you. We need a sign to understand that you have divine authority, that you truly are the Messiah. And Mark records it, that Jesus just goes, he deeply sighs. I mean, already in the beginning of ministry, Jesus is human, man. He's a little exhausted. Like, how much more do you need to know who I am? I've been revealing it to you. For you, who's a religious Pharisee, who knows the promises and the prophecies of the scriptures, has them memorized, you should know. They're checking the boxes right in front of you. And Jesus says, look, there'll be no sign for this generation. Rather harsh. Because the Pharisees, it's not just a fail to see. It's a denial to see. Why? Because they're preoccupied with themselves. They're more concerned about their nation. Jesus is not a welcomed renewal, revitalization to bring us to salvation. No, he is a threat to my nation. He's a threat to the way my world runs, to my authority, to my luxury, to my comfort, to my life. We know how the story ends. Jesus becomes so impossible to stop, they end up ultimately crucifying him to protect their own nation. That's the road it goes on. And see, that's the road that King Herod took. He's famous for slaughtering a generation of young children. Why? Out of fear that he heard the Messiah was born. He heard there was another king who would ruin his nation. He wanted to stay king of his life. He wanted to be the one in charge and the one who met his needs and kept his needs the way it is, his comfort, his power, his control. And so what does he do? He goes and kills the defenseless children, trying to wipe out Jesus and the threat before he ever comes. I don't need you. I can do it myself. I can take care of myself. See, they both denied. And one tried to kill Jesus, and the other was successful and crucified him. Because they wanted to meet their own needs and their own physical needs and their own spiritual needs. And here is the one who can provide for both what they really need. So this short little story that seems so... oh, just skip over. They don't have bread. suddenly ask the difficult questions that deserve our honest reflection. And I summarize it this way. Are your needs leading you to sin? Am I so preoccupied with my pressing temporal, physical needs? I don't have bread. I don't have this. That I'm killing the Jesus, the work of Jesus in my life. I'm killing the Jesus who's calling me, who's trying to reach my needs. I'm killing the trust. I don't trust in him. I only trust in myself. That I'm denying his divinity, his power, his character, his presence in my life, because I'm going to keep my nation. I'm going to preserve my own nation. I mean, isn't that American independence, individualism? I didn't need anybody. I did it. See, it's our preoccupation with our nation, denying Christ and his proclamation. I like that so much, I'm going to say that again. Is our preoccupation with our nation denying Christ and his proclamation? There's two different things. Am I more defined by my position, pro or anti-Trump, than my faith in Jesus? Are our minds and hearts so preoccupied with the physical needs, we're neglecting ours and our neighbor's spiritual needs? Does my anger, frustration for the physical, temporary, daily needs greater than my passion and desire for the Lord and his mission to save souls for eternity? See, what you're mad about, what you get frustrated about, really points to what you care about, what you believe is what you need. And so in Mark 8:16, the disciples are discussing with one another the fact they have no bread. Discussing is a horrible translation. They are arguing. The Greek is they are arguing. They are fighting. They're quarreling. I mean, America quarrels more about politics than we quarrel about whether you're going to go to heaven or hell. We quarrel and fight about religious things in the church so we don't have to be on mission and worry about the eternal things of others. We fight over preferences and interpretations because those are things we can control and those are things that fill our nation, not his nation. See, we get so preoccupied on the lesser, and we argue over the lesser temporal things, the physical, the bread, when there's an eternal bread of life that is with you. And what it really shows is that we're like the disciples, that we doubt his authority, we doubt his divinity, we doubt his care for us. And while we might follow, we don't trust. We truly don't trust. See what Jesus is doing, number four, Jesus is attempting to awaken their hearts to him. Jesus said, he's aware of this. He said, and why are you discussing? Why are you arguing? Why are you quarreling about the fact you have no bread? Why is this preoccupying you? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Do you not perceive and understand who you are, who you're called to be, who you are with right now? Is everything you look at this in this world, you look at a very temporal, worldly view? Don't you have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, ears and eyes of faith? Are you just so consumed with the here and now, right now, this moment, myself, that you can't see beyond yourself? I mean, here's Jesus, the promised one, the Messiah, the one who's provided bread and food with thousands of people with a little happy meal, and yet they got one loaf of bread and 12 of them, and they go, oh, no, there's not enough. We have such a scarcity mindset. Because we only look at ourselves. I said a God who's a God of abundance, a God who has all things, is capable of all things. It's like, your heart's hardened? Like, your hearts aren't, like, the Word of God, the Spirit of God is just falling off of you? You're rejecting me? You're rebelling? Because you have eyes to see and ears to hear to give faith. I mean, this is pretty poignant. This gets into your heart, into your life. I mean, what is your calendar filled with? What are your goals? What is your list filled with? What is your retirement dream filled with? Is it all the physical things you think you need? Are there divine appointments and visions that God has given you for His nation? Or are you worried about your nation? I want to have a nation so I can do whatever I want when I want. That's retirement. We call that adolescence with money. And there's always more and there's always better. And that's the leaven of this world. There's more and better, and you need more and better so you can meet that need and feel good. And you deserve better, and you deserve this, and your pets deserve this, and your kids. And so there's no room for God's nation. I don't have those divine appointments. I don't have those goals. I don't have that time for Him. I don't have my resources, my tithing to Him. There's not enough. You understand, this world's expensive. There's not enough. You can't multiply. You can't add. No, there's not enough. I couldn't do tithe 10%. No way. I only got one loaf of bread, Jesus. Not enough. And Jesus says, and do you not remember? Remember. And the answer is usually no. I mean, the Israelites are the classic example. I mean, the Israelites were slaves to Egypt, the most powerful nation. And God delivers them through these 10 plagues and this last one of the firstborn. Pretty drastic. I mean, people are plundering. You got a million people leaving the big nation. I mean, that's how many Israelites went through the desert. And people are like, your God is awesome. Your God is powerful. Here, take my stuff. Take this. Take that. Just get out of here because I'm afraid of your God. And God delivers them. Here's the most strongest military in the world. It's chasing them down. And yet God parts the sea. They walk on dry land. And then they watch all the chariots of His army just get swallowed up, defeated. They're delivered and going to a promised land. God is providing bread from heaven, manna, food for them. He's with them, this cloud and for coverage in the sunny of the day, and the fire, pillar of fire at night. I mean, all these things, and yet, what do they say? Oh, I miss my pot of meat in slavery. Oh, this physical need. It's so pressing. It just erases all the great spiritual things that God has done for you. We get so fixated on this world He's blessed us with, and we forget about the greater blessing world yet to come. God has saved us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He's provided all goods. He blessed us every day. And yet, like the Israelites, as they're going through the desert, as we're waiting for the promised land of heaven, what do? We just complain. I'm a little bit OCD. I have a little bit of that. And one of my quirks is when I go on a trip, we go on a trip and I'm driving a car, I like a clean car. Do I hear an amen with that? I know there's guys out there, right? And one of the cleanest places I want is that windshield. I want that windshield super clean. And so, in fact, when we're driving down the road and those bugs start hitting and, you know, splatting all over the place, I mean, bug juice is hard to get off. So it's like immediately with the wipers and you're just trying to get it off. And in Florida, when it's love bug seasons, it's 2-for-1 special, man. It's just nasty. And they just bombard, boom, 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 you know, they're just hitting your car. And so you're like windshield fluid, wipers, trying to get it all off. And it always happens. Like, you can get most of it off, but there's always a spot. I mean, a whole windshield can be clean, but there's that spot. And while you're driving, all you see is that spot. And you want to get rid of that spot, but then you have to slow down, get out, and you're just like, do I pull over? I can't wait to pull over. I got to get at this spot off my windshield. It's driving me nuts. So Christy has to, like, counsel me through this, right? But my point is, it's the same way we get in life. Like this view, this whole windshield of life that we have, and everything can be going well. Everything's great and clean, and God is blessing. God is with us, and we see God in things, and then yet we got this one spot. This one spot hits our windshield. Maybe it's a health thing. Maybe it's a financial thing. Maybe it's just an emotional thing, a relational thing. Whatever it is, this thing hits the windshield, and we try to get rid of it, but it stays there, and we get consumed by it, preoccupied, that we forget all the good that's going on. And we allow that to rule in our life, to dictate us and drive us. And we forget how God has brought us through the past. We forget He's there. And we forget He has our future, and a future that is bigger and better with Christ. Christ is bigger and better than your cancer, and He's bigger and stronger in cancer than the cash you need and your cars you need, and most certainly cats. So I'm just going all C's there, right? See, the Bible uses remember or words like it over 200 times because we're forgetful. And God is commanding us to remember. He commands it because He knows we will forget quickly. And He commands us to remember His actions, His character, His commandments, His laws, His word, His promises. So we don't doubt. We don't let other things hijack our lives and our hearts. And we stay connected to the living God who is able to meet our needs. And yet we forget and we forfeit. And so God says, remember this. Remember how I delivered you, and we walked through the seas. And so for each tribe, there was a stone, a memorial built. Jesus comes to us in this bread and wine, the Lord's Supper, and He says, remember. Remember that you were slaves in your sins, and I came and I paid the debt for you, to forgive you, to give eternal life. Remember my sacrifice, my love for you, my devotion for you, that this is a God who cares and watches and is with you, Emmanuel, who comes to dwell with you. You're not alone. You're not abandoned. You're not forgotten. You're not forsaken. This is a hard season, but there's a God who can feed you, a God who can sustain you, a God who will deliver you through it. If you trusted Him, if you let Him. But so much, we let the leaven, we go, I got to meet this need. I got to do it. It's up to me. And we go the wrong way. We strike it, and we kill out the Jesus and His work in our life. And she's saying, remember. Don't let your heart, don't let the hardness of life bitter your heart. Maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you feel down. Maybe you just feel empty. We all go through that. I mean, David said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Look, these are shadows. They don't define you. It's just part of the broken journey we're in. But when you're in the broken journey, there's a God who's with you and a God who's going to give you gold and give you the manna you need to get through it to the new place He's trying to take you. You got to get through the wilderness to get to the promised land. You can't skip it. Because in the wilderness, you learn to depend on Him. You remember Him. He disciplines you. He equips you for the new land. Some of you aren't in the new land because you are refusing the desert and trying to live your own promised land. So number five, Jesus helps them remember and understand. He's like, when I broke five loaves of 5,000 for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said 12. And then the seven for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? They said 7. And he said to them, do you not yet understand? Jesus recounts the recent miracles that they experienced together with bread. And he's like, remember, there's leftovers, there's abundance. You had, what, this 12 and 7. He's, remember, numbers are important, especially in the Jewish community. The 12 tribes of Abraham, the chosen ones. And these are the 12 disciples who were chosen by God. And God is symbolized. Look, God is a God of abundance and provision. He provided for his people. Read, remember the word. Remember the stories of your faith. God has always provided and provided in abundance. In the 7, the significance of his perfection, his completeness, his perfect care. There's reminded in all creation that God created all things. On the 7th day, he rested. Not because he was tired, but that creation was perfect, complete, and cared for. And he rested back in his work, modeling, teaching what we should do in order that we rest and remember. God has given us gifts. God has given us work. God has given us income. God has given us opportunity. God has given these things to us. They are not ours, but his. We've been blessed. And Jesus pulls that together and says, do you understand? And there's crickets. Crickets. Jesus is asking, do you believe this? Do you trust me? Like, you're following me, but do you believe me and trust me? Maybe you think in your head I'm the Messiah, but do you really have it in your heart and your life? That you truly will trust me, that you'll know that I'll care for your physical as well as your spiritual eternal needs. I mean, if you really do, why are you anxious about physical stuff? Why are you fearful? Why are you worried? Why are you preoccupied? Why do you allow the news of the day to ruin your day? Am I not the bread of life? Am I not the one who's over the bread? Don't you know that life is more than bread? What's interesting, which I love about the Gospel of Mark, is he goes pretty quick. And it's the same chapter. Go home and read chapter 8. But in the same chapter, 6 verses. Just 6 verses. We have another incredible part of the story. And so Jesus and one of his disciples, they had nothing. They said nothing. And they went to the village of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, so Jesus is circling back. He's trying another way, and he's saying, who do people say I am? And they told him, John the Baptist. Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, another one, the prophets. And they asked him more directly, but who do you say I am? And Peter answered him, you are the Christ. Number 6, Peter's heart is awakened by God. The next verse, Matthew 16:17 recounts the story and this reply of Jesus to Peter's profession of faith. He says, and Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jono, there it is. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, blessed are you. Why? Because you're going to be rich? No, blessed are you because I'm going to take care of every single need of your life. And if you have faith, you'll never have a problem or wants or needs. No, blessed are you that you will live in a great nation and all will honor my name and bless you. And you are Christians and you'll have no pushback or any kind of resistance to you. Blessed are you that you'll have this better life than non-believers and you'll have more than everybody else. No, blessed are you. That God the Father has revealed this truth to you. The truth of eternal life. The truth of salvation. That you truly know the Christ, and the Christ has set you free from yourself. From your nation. from your pursuit of doing all your needs to the greatest need of salvation, the forgiveness of sins that gives peace. Peace that says, you know what? The things of this world outside and even my own needs do not rule my life, but Christ does. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am not shaken. I am not insecure. I am not worried. I don't have a divided heart. I'm not filled with anxiety and hanging on every single bit of news and action so the world doesn't fall apart or my world doesn't fall apart, because I am secure in Christ. Blessed are you. For you had a gift that no man can earn and get, that's a gift from God the Father of salvation in Jesus Christ. Is that your profession? Do you believe Jesus is the Christ and he's the Christ for you? That he's died for your sins, he's made peace with the Father? That because of Jesus you have a relationship with God, the Father of all creation in the world and you? The one who plays with galaxies and black holes, and yet who has sent his son, who humbled himself to a single cell and took on your sin and paid your debt in order that you can have salvation? This free gift? Is that your profession? Is that your belief? Then number 7, then live by faith like Jesus is your rock. Live by faith that Jesus is your rock. Jesus says, I tell you, you are Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The most powerful evil in this world is devil, not the other political party. Satan. Not another nation. Satan. And Jesus says, on this rock, Peter, on the rock, on your profession, on Christ. In other words, the Christ and what he's done is not done. The work is in you, and he's going to work through you on the rock of Jesus Christ that is in you. He's going to build his church, and hell can't stop it. He's going to build his nation, and hell can't stop it. This is what David said, right? King David, the greatest psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not... Well, thank you. What's the key? The Lord is my shepherd. Not my parents, not my churches, not some ideology idea, but my shepherd. I don't want. Because he leads, he guides me, he watches over me. I trust him to lead me to green pastures. I trust him that he will defeat these enemies. I trust him when I face resistance, he will make me stronger. He will make me better. He will care for me. Even in the worst of my moments, in the darkest of pits, he's there with me. His rod and staff, they even comfort me in my time of great need. That he's always there. So why? Why are we striving? Why are we letting the world and all this leaven drive us to try to build and protect our own nation? Why do we live such fear and stress and anxious lives? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things, our needs, will be added unto you. I'll be honest. It's a tension. It's going to be a little wrestling. It's going to be a battle, because the sinful self always wants to do what's good for your nation, not for God's. And the way you overcome that is by praying, is by serving, it's by giving, it's aligning your heart, your actions, and your habits, your commitments to God and his nation. It's put him first. Tithing was just a beginning thought in the New Testament. And tithing there in the New Testament, when we look at God's grace, Jesus uses tithing as the base to say, look, where your heart, where your money goes is where your heart goes. And so I want you to be able to do this, to be disciplining your heart to the things that really matter, not to be preoccupied and consumed on the things that don't.
But there's going to come things in your life that are going to come by, and we're so quick to be able to justify our needs. And we let little things rob us of great spiritual things and rob God's nation. And so sometimes you're just going to have to, you need to remember. You need to like recount these things out loud. Remember them. Remember how what God has given you. Remember it's His. Remember His word. Because here's what I know. I know that all of you would rejoice longer and celebrate longer for one more soul in heaven than one more new car. New car is exciting, but they fade, they break. But man, if you know a bunch of people because of your God working in you that have been in heaven and have eternal life, you're going to remember that. You're going to remember your part in that. So I'm encouraging today, engage. Engage in the spiritual building of God's nation. Partner with us. Be following Jesus by praying, serving, and giving. Align your heart with Him, and your needs and wants will diminish because you'll see the great future God has for us. You'll see the other part of the windshield beyond yourselves. You'll see the road that God has for you, the road that is far greater, greater calling than ever you could have for yourself. I mean, God has called us as a church with this community with a vision of making disciples and creating more gatherings along the coast. We're starting a gathering at Inlet Beach. We're meeting first and third Sunday right now. And we're building up to be weekly, but that's not the last one. That's one, and then we want to go do another one and another one. This idea is to continue to multiply the gospel and create these lighthouses of places that shine the light of Jesus and give hope. Folks, we have so much to be thankful for, and we've been entrusted with so much and an opportunity. And I'm asking you to help expand God's nation. Expand it with your prayers and serving and giving. And for some of you, that means you're going to start to do. For others, it's not just starting, it's learning to be more consistent and disciplined and being regular. And for others, you just step up to a higher commitment and expand more. And for others here, it's to go to a real high legacy gift level that can change the directory and help us to take a huge leap forward. God is calling us. That's what He wanted His disciples. And He used just ordinary people, ragtag group, to create a movement to change the world, and still is today. And He's inviting you to be part of that today. Let's pray. God, we can't thank and praise You enough because Your blessings fall down on us, whether we are good or bad. You're a God who's good. And I love that scripture that Jesus says that, don't you know how, you know, your earthly fathers know how to give good things to your kids. How much more does your heavenly Father know to give good for you? And He's longing to do good in your life and meet deeper needs that you've been filling with temporary needs that aren't satisfying. That's why you keep moving and keep expanding and keep trying to build your nation, because it's not filling the need. And so Jesus is calling us to align our hearts, to turn to Him, to repent and lay down our kingdom, our nation, for His. So whatever it is that God is pricking your heart today, man, I invite you to confess that. Say, God, I've been putting this before You. Maybe I've been more concerned about our nation than Your nation. I'm more concerned about my own personal nation than Yours. And I'm asking for Your forgiveness. And God is ready. He's willing, He's able, and He forgives you of all your sins. They're gone, they're washed clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. You are restored as children of the great nation of God. And so as his children, we have the honor and privilege to call upon him in his name. We have the honor and privilege. He hears our prayers and he answers them. He even answers ones we don't even say. But we come together taking our needs and our trust and our faith and trusting him and praying him the words he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. In your worship folder, we have an opportunity to continue our worship and to do that in our offerings. And so if you want to use the offering envelope, the text to give, or the QR code, those are all ways that, man, you can carry out our stewardship and our worship of our Lord, just as we've been encouraged, instructed by the word today. Also in your worship folder is that connection card. If you turn on the back side, I can share what you're celebrating today. Man, if this is the first time that you confirmed your faith in Jesus, let us know you believe. We'd love to talk to you and pray with you. Maybe if you've not been baptized, let's talk. Let's connect. Or if God's renewed your faith. We're going through a Bible study. It's in your notes, the details of it on Tuesday nights. But we're looking at hard questions of Jesus with a dinner and fellowship and then a dialogue of these questions that Jesus is asking. I really encourage you. Come join it. If you can only make one, that's great. Whatever one you can make, it's a fluid thing. But it's a great time of just fellowship and with the Word, and just a time of just a good deep dialogue, not just soundbite, not lecture, but discussion. And so, encourage you to come for that and let this Word of God get into your life more. Again, July 13th coming up real quick. Jacob's ordination. We'll be there on the 13th at 4. If you want to help out with dinner and help out with clean out, we greatly appreciate it. We're looking for, this is one of our children of our church being ordained to be a pastor and to be in full-time ministry at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Boca Raton, Florida. Also, if you'd like to join one of our teams, there's information there, especially here at the beach or inlet. Join that team as they continue to expand the kingdom and their work over there. And lastly, there's been an opportunity that several of our people have been leaning into that God's opened the door for. And I just watch people come back more excited than even they went. They kind of go a little nervous what to expect, and they come back so excited, so thankful they went. But we have been fostering with the Guardian Leiden, who deals with foster children, and there's a huge need in our community. And one of the things they're doing right now is they're doing different events, and they need a buddy. Because those people are fostering, sometimes need a break from fostering, or they need a break so they can have more time with their own children. And so by being a buddy, you get to just come along, be an adult who just is a caring presence, who helps the group go do that event, and just get to meet and love on kids. And it's just a thrill. And I know... as I watched, how can I put words to it? I can't. I just watched the hearts explode and expand because, the love of Christ just starts pouring out of them because the compassion for these kids and also the joy to just get to know them and just encourage them, love on them with unconditional love. So, I want to encourage you, sign up for those things. We're so grateful to be able to partner and come walk aside with them. It's a real joy. And I want to share that with you and hope to encourage you to do that too. Your prayer request, so as we continue our worship, the ushers are going to come around their buckets and you can put your offering envelopes and your connection cards in there as we continue to worship together.
What you're doing,
So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it. Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear for tomorrow, what it will bring. If I have you, I have enough, 'cause your love will satisfy. Everything I need, my Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide, my Father has it, yeah.
That song? Yeah, it was on.
Here we go.
That song is so true. Our Father has it. Our Father comes and freely gives it through His Son, Jesus Christ. He gives us what we truly need, His grace, His presence, to lead and guide us, His wisdom. So, Lord Jesus Christ, as betrayed, He took bread, and after He gave thanks, He broke and gave His disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, He took the cup, and after He gave Him thanks, He gave Him and said, "Drink it, all of you. This is the cup of the new covenant, given to you forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." So this is the Lord's Supper, and His words define His supper. He says, "This is my body, this is my blood, this is bread and wine." And what we know is that Jesus is here, and that He truly is here, present in these bread and wine, to give out His gifts of grace to us. And so if you recognize, man, I'm a sinner and I need God's grace, and it's in Jesus, and I've been baptized, been brought into that covenant relationship, and I want that covenant to be strengthened, then come. This is the place. Come with your doubts. Come with your fears. Say, "Jesus, come dwell in me. You're greater than my doubts and my fears. Come fill me with your goodness." And so that is your heart and profession today, that this is the rock, then come. If you've not been baptized or that's not where your profession is at, then we invite you to continue to worship where you're at. But you're welcome to come forward with your arms folded and receive a blessing. But for those who come forward, we will give you the bread. And then you can take the bread and we dip it in the cup for the wine and then partake. And so I invite us to continue to worship and prepare our hearts to receive His gifts. And when I'll